Nalu FM Finance Podcast. Insight into the financial markets.
About a decade, maybe decade and a half ago, when we were creating indexes using derivatives with options, people were approaching me and saying, you guys are crazy. You know, they're weapons of mass destruction.
Said the person who used them himself.
Exactly.
This podcast is powered by Vesta, the engine behind active management. Vesta is a Switzerland-based fintech startup that provides software for issuers of actively managed certificates to automate their value chain fully. Visit Vesta, V-E-S-T-R.com, to schedule a meeting with an expert and to learn more about Vesta.
Hi, I'm here with Bruce Tram, the global head of indices at DXFees. Bruce, it's an absolute honor to have you on the podcast. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what you sort of do.
Yeah, well, Stefan, thank you so much for having me on. My background, I've been in financial industry for, you know, over two decades now. Started my career as a trader for derivatives in a prop firm here in Chicago. Left that firm and joined Cboe Global Markets in 2006 and was there for about 15 and a half, 16 years and really leading a number of different capacities over there, you know, from research and product development to onboarding a lot of Cboe's prop products and supporting them. And then really incubating and leading Cboe's indexing business for Cboe Global Indexes. And then left Cboe, joined a crypto data firm as their chief index officer, and then worked on a startup for a little bit and had that itch. And then recently joined DXFeed to help them grow out their indexing business and really just a wonderful platform that they've built out in terms of data and applications, and at least in terms of products and services.
I mean, it's funny, we have a little bit of a similar background. You know, I also used to be an equity derivatives trader in my previous life, basically. Now at DXFeed, so who are sort of your typical clients and how do you help them?
Yeah, you know, it ranges the gamut, right? Yeah, at our core, you know, we like to solve and provide technology solutions, right? So we're a data solutions and index management firm. And really, we're agnostic on how we deliver or how we pull in data, and it's multi-assets and so on, right? So the spectrum of data that we do cover is, you know, ranges anywhere from global equities to, you know, futures, options on futures, options on equities and index options, FX commodities, and digital assets. And so at least in terms of what we provide is really a normalized feed and solution for, I would say, investors and asset owners and asset managers, you know, throughout the world. And so, you know, with our index management solutions, we service product issuers as well as financial exchanges. So really, you know, a wide spectrum of clients.
That's a really good description what you just did. But is that an example maybe you can give where you sort of a big challenge where you help the client or how your team solved it? Is there something you could share?
Yeah, on the index management side, I mean, I guess it depends on the lens that you're looking at. Now, challenges can be, you know, very difficult for one client and then very simple for another. And our ethos is really creating more custom, bespoke, and tailored solutions. And so an item here in which we do like to follow is that, you know, we take in input from clients, like just say, for instance, we were the calculation agent for two exchanges. So they're CFTC and SEC regulated exchanges. And so when you put on that regulatory hat and you're calculating indexes for an exchange, it requires a lot more rigor, a lot more thorough processing and so on. And so we've been able to take certain ideas that they've had and really amalgamate them into a transparent index so they can launch products on it. And so when you see a value calculated on the screen, you know, anywhere between, you know, over our data feeds or over what you would pick up at a, you know, major data vendor, that you can see that value as reliable, and it's something that, you know, the regulators can be safely assured that, you know, it is calculated as it's stated or it's economic reality.
Indices have been around for probably more than 50 years, but I would say probably in the last 3, 4, 5 years, they have become more and more prolific and more different ones and much more interesting ones, not just purely capital weighted indices, just like an S&P 500 or so. Why do you think that is? Why is there suddenly such a, call it, boom in the production or creation of indices?
Yeah, it's been fascinating to see. You know, index-linked products have been around for over, you know, 4 or 5 decades now. And so when you see things evolving, you know, from straight price weighted to, you know, market cap weighted and so on, there's an evolution there, right? Obviously, you know, keep it simple. Methodology is perfect and it's easy to understand for the investors. And, you know, within the last few years, I guess it's just access to information, right? And investment goals have been changing quite a bit, you know, and it's something that what we call the modern investor and their appetite for more risk, their appetite for more alpha and so on, that's needed. It's investment goals. My investment goals will be different from somebody who else is, you know, either, you know, 10 years younger than me or 10 years older than me. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you have to try and provide these investment solutions, right? And you've been able to do that because the advent of passively linked products and passive investing, and they need that benchmark. And so when investors are becoming more sophisticated, they want more solutions. And, you know, fortunately for us, we've been able to offer more customized solutions for them. And, you know, I think that will continue down the road. And you can see that, you know, with the recent approval for the Bitcoin ETFs just recently. And I think that will continue to evolve, you know, whether it be for digital assets, more complex strategies for equities and derivatives. About a decade, maybe decade and a half ago, when we were creating indexes using derivatives with options, people were approaching me and saying, you guys are crazy. You know, they're weapons of mass destruction.
Said the person who used them himself.
Exactly. You know, somebody, you know, selling puts, for example, you know, it's one of those things that, like,
10-year puts on the
internet. And when you look at that and you go, all right, you know, the institutions are doing it, the professionals are doing it, why not make that more transparent so you can access, so you can provide more access to users or investors downstream? And you've definitely seen the growth of that with derivatives, buy rights, you know, and with these, what they call yield enhancement equity indexes. But all that really is a dynamic buy right that they're doing. But, you know, it's been interesting being a part of that, those conversations and being in that industry. But it all starts with that benchmark. And I'm hoping that continues to evolve because we're in a wonderful and great industry.
There's a lot of creativity currently and interesting developments I've seen into index developments, and more people seems to get involved. But one of the challenges I always find is when trying to create something like an index is your data set, you know, that is actually good and you can actually test something on the back. And, you know, yeah, as of today, I can probably find out what a stock was worth, but going back 10 years, suddenly there was maybe a reverse stock split that in my data set is not in and completely will change the thing. How difficult is it still these days? And I presume you, that's one of the big things, how you help your clients having a good data set.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to your question on challenges, right? I mean, that was one of the experiences that DX Feeder, you know, had initially, right? At the genesis was that, wow, we really need optimal, normalized, and quality data. And so sourcing that from a third-party vendor, you really have no control over that because essentially, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And so from that perspective, that was the genesis idea of like, wow, we really need quality data. And so DXFeed created, you know, our infrastructure to support that, right? We started ingesting global equities, futures, options data, you know, just ranges the gambit of multi-asset. And, you know, our historical data lake, we sit on 10 petabytes or over 10 petabytes of historical data, normalized data and scrubbed. And so we realized the importance of having clean data sets, right? Not only for our clients, but for us, right? So if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And so we, from that standpoint, you know, we've really taken that ethos, applied that for our clients, and then apply that same methodology and that data to what we do for our indexes. So, and it's important, right? Because the methodology itself, you have an idea for an index, then you apply that to a methodology, like, and there's going to be a balance between simplicity and complexity. And then you take that and then apply that to historical calculation or indicative calculation. But if you have something that's not clean, you're going to have a history that's not, you know, the trustworthy. And then when you launch the index, historical results don't predict future results, right?
But you want to test your index over how it would have done, basically.
Exactly.
Because it often, I find when you do this in backtest, you find things that you haven't thought about it. How did it over when COVID came, or volatility spikes, or the Russian crisis, things like this, yeah. When somebody's like a client comes to you, potential client, and says, I have an idea for an index, what is sort of your advice to tell them, you know, how to go about it when you design it? What should you keep in mind?
like I said, through our experience, it's going to be a bridge between simplicity and complexity, right? If you're evolving or trying to create something in a new asset class, or you know, just something that really isn't out there yet, I think simplicity is very important, and being able to tell that story, mm-hmm. you know, to the underlying investor or you know whoever's downstream from you. Now, if it's an industry like where we are right now, let's just say with equities, I think that conversation is shifting towards more complexity and applying more factors, themes, you know, just more wrappers behind that, just to give a new idea on how to invest. We approach things and say, hey, you know, what exact problem that you're trying to solve? And we're here to try and give you some ideas and help you solve that. And like I say, you know, bespoke creative solutions is what our core ethos is and what we try and push down to our clients.
I mean, you just mentioned something I think that's very important. You said, you know, what downstream, what information you want to pass on as well. Transparency, particularly as these indices become more complex, is quite important. How do you sort of handle that one? Do you support that as well? And with it gets publicized, maybe not only Bloomberg, you know, I presume your connectivity there is also important for the client.
Yeah, I mean, if you are calculating an index, transparency is like the utmost importance, right? You know, we have a philosophy of ACT, right? ACT, right? Where you know, A is accountability, C is for communication, and T is for transparency. And that all follows the guidelines of, you know, the principles set by IOSCO, and then as well as, you know, BMR, you know, for the EU. And so, you know, having a framework to work around is always a lot easier to do. Or an agent for not only our clients, but for us and the investors. And so when we calculate something, indicative history, you know, obviously comes with the data that goes into it, how you calculate it and so on. So getting that out there for people to see how that time series occurred over different volatility regimes is important. But when it's live, distribution is so important there, and getting transparency. And the way you do that is calculating it and getting it out to as many eyeballs as possible.
I mean, you mentioned just, you know, backtesting a little bit and seeing, you know, how has it performed in different volatility regimes. You know, we talk about indices, but then there's sometimes, you know, the concept of a basket level in a sense. And what makes a basket, if I just calculate a basket level of, you know, 10 stocks weighted and accordingly 100% times, you know, the weights times the stock price gives you a basket level versus, hold on, suddenly this, it becomes an index. Is it a purely regulatory thing? What is the difference basically between them? Is it just the wording?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just probably put that as under a container of a wrapper, right? You can come up with indexes for just equities, right? And that's for a particular exposure. You know, you can come up with an index with just commodities like gold, for example, and, you know, digital assets, fixed income. And I think from a strategic standpoint, those product sets are definitely needed, right? Now, if we were talking about more portfolio access or more wider multi-asset approach, yeah, I mean, you can approach things with just so many different ways. And the beauty of indexing is that eye of the beholder, right? Like you can come up and drum up any idea that you want and as mechanical as possible. When you take a look at like more of the traditional 60-40 portfolio, that has changed quite a bit now, right? And now people are saying, hey, include digital assets in there or Bitcoin. And you know, how much should you allocate to that? And now you can come up with an index to really give you that perspective of like, hey, if I did do it, this is how it would look back in time. And going forward, this will be a transparent portfolio that you could theoretically follow.
And it takes all the emotions out of investing, basically, depending how you feel.
Yes, yes.
Your active manager feels on the day.
Yes, totally.
Do you have a sort of favorite index that you guys maybe were involved lately that you can talk about?
Yeah, so we have developed, you know, a number of indexes that really solve that I would say not necessarily a problem, but we have created solutions to provide more transparency, right? Now, from our own ideation, we're growing that out quite substantially, right? We're applying different ideas, AI, you know, machine learning, LMM to the portfolio construction or the handling of an index on the reconstitution and rebalancing. So yeah, more to come on that, but we have a list of indexes that we do calculate at the moment, which you can find at indexit.dxv.com. I would say we're looking to evolve that quite a bit going forward.
You mentioned something interesting, which actually leads me to what I wanted to ask you next is, you mentioned, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning to actually do some of the picking the underlyings for an index. It used to be very clear where active was and where passive was. Yeah. But now with AI, where you have something that potentially at one point can reasoning and definitely can change his opinion about a stock, depending on what happened with it, this becomes very fluid, let's put it this way. Have the regulators given any indications how they see this these days?
From an indexing standpoint, you know, as you create a methodology, you do want to state its economic reality, right? Like, what are you trying to achieve with this methodology? And the way that you communicate that is just by defining the price points. Obviously, with AI, it's done within, you know, either a black box or gray box, right? And so there's a lot of algorithms working in play there. But if you can be as descriptive as possible without essentially revealing some of the secret sauce out there, I think that will be key. And you know, we're trying to balance that right now, and at least in terms of the indexes and family of indexes that we're developing at the moment, and just saying, hey, here is the methodology, here is how we're developing it, and we're using some algorithms and to do it via AI, and here's the performance. And you know, the results are very compelling, and hopefully, you know, our clients and our, you know, investors will find value in that.
No, I think there's huge things to come with that technology, what you can do there. And particularly also, as you mentioned, you know, it's very individual sometimes how you can develop these indices. It's just not the generic, you know, market cap, biggest 500 stocks of an index. Bruce, thank you very much for all this insight. How best can interested parties get in touch with you?
Yeah, always open to have conversations. You know, one, to learn more about what people are doing, but also see if we can help solve some problems for you. But you can reach me at btran@devexperts.com. But then also too, you can reach us at im@dxv.com as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, Stella, I really appreciate the time today, and thank you so much.
Nalu FM Finance Podcast. Insight into the financial markets.
This podcast is powered by Vesta, the engine behind active management. Vesta is a Switzerland-based fintech startup that provides software for issuers of actively managed certificates to automate their value chain fully. Visit Vesta, VESTR.com, to schedule a meeting with an expert and to learn more about Vesta.